Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. And we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Robert Knott will be here, of course, speaking of the arts. Right now, I would like to welcome Tetsuki Ijichi. He is with Tide Point Pictures and Red Cell with The Process. They're back to talk about the Asia Now film series. And this coming Sunday, the 11th of July at 8 o'clock in the evening at The Screen, there will be a screening of the film Dear Pyongyang by Yonggi Yang. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Hello. Greetings.
Hello. Ohayou gozaimasu.
So this is a film which is very unusual. It's, I guess you would call it a Japanese-Korean documentary. It's by a woman who grew up in Japan. Her parents were Korean and actually very politically active, and she is exploring a kind of identity picture, who she is.
That's right. And there is a Korean community and divided North Korea and South Korea in Japan. And there is really history with Korean immigration and also the new immigration from Korea after the World War II in Japan.
And so it's interesting that there's this whole Korean subculture that is divided between North and South Koreans living in Japan. And when things happen, I mean, one of the most remarkable moments in this film to me was the narrator was talking about how there was a certain point in which North and South Korean leaders shook hands. And that handshake, one handshake seen on television, actually diffused a great deal of tension in Japan between North and South Korean people who'd been living there their whole lives. How did the filmmaker come up with the idea for this documentary?
I think that she started find out identity through the her family. And then she started filmmaking to her father and her families. But interesting is the father sent out his son to North Korea because he wanted his son to support North Korea. And also, he always sent money to North Korea because he's a member of the support group in Japan for North Korea.
So it's an extraordinary thing. Somebody would send his three sons away from a reasonably prosperous life in Japan to live in North Korea under a basically communist system that bears, it's very strange. I mean, international communism, it all looks like wherever you go. It's East Germany, Cuba, North Korea. There's a kind of odd sameness to it. And there's an also odd sameness to people from the outside shipping in packages of stuff so that they can just have a reasonable life.
Right, right. I find this really interesting that you know, not only did he send his sons to live there, but that he remained in Japan.
Yeah.
And so to see that, you get to see both of those worlds in this film and how they kind of bump up against each other.
Mm. Yeah.
Very much so. And through the lens of a young woman, well, probably, what, late 30s or early 40s, who is with her aging parents and filming them in the house. And it's very intimate. And it kind of ends up being, along with everything else, a love letter to her father.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Maybe you can see a little bit about racism through the this movie. There is a racism in Japan, and even though, you know, it looks like Japan has only one nation country, but there are historical immigrants, and one of the strong immigrants is from Korea, And also the father on the movie mentioned there is a relationship between Korean who is rooting for North or South. That's a kind of, you know, related to racism.
Right. Yeah. So the Japanese society has racial prejudice against Koreans, and then North and South Koreans have, you can't even really call it racism because they've got to be the same race, but some kind of cultural prejudice or political prejudice
exactly.
against each
yeah,
other.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And also, I would like to mention to the listener and audience at the upcoming screening, there are many female film director coming out in Japan right now. And I haven't seen such things 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And right now, in the next, the past 3 or 4 years, I have seen many female film director directing the documentary or feature film. So we will bring another the feature film by female director next month. So that's also I would like to tell everybody.
Well, the Asian Now film series, as we've discussed in the past, I think is a very important and interesting series because we here in Santa Fe get to see once a month, I think it's the second Sunday of each month, contemporary Asian films from all over the Eastern world, I guess you would say. What was one of the things that was interesting to me about this film, Dear Pyongyang, was that the narrator spoke, if I understand it correctly, she was speaking Japanese in the film. Is that correct?
Japanese and Korean both.
Because you have subtitles that are sometimes in just English, and sometimes they're in Japanese and English.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so when somebody is speaking Korean, Japanese subtitles appear on the screen. Mm-hmm. And it does make one wonder whether these, I mean, it's just like everywhere else in the world. You know, Americans who emigrate from Latin America or Europe or any place, to what extent are they able to keep their original country's heritage? And especially when somebody like her is born and raised in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, another unique aspect for this for me was, along with the being a female director, which is a really new thing in Japan, is the meter of the movie, the feel of the movie. It's a very slow-moving movie.
It's a slow
movie. It's not what Americans are used to watching. It's, you know, not, it doesn't zip from point to point. It really kind of just settles in. It becomes slightly hypnotic after a while. And this is something that you see in, there's a tradition of Asian movies that do this. It's one reason that they're their own subgenre, not only because of the cultural things that are in it, but because of the feelings behind the movie. And so this is definitely a movie that you go to experience. It's not just a movie that you go to like see what's new in the world kind of thing. You really have to settle into this movie. And I think it feels, has a very female feeling to me because of that. Like, it's very subtle in its movements. And I love that about it.
Yeah, and it's very familial and very first person. Mm-hmm. And that sense of love of family and trying to find oneself within that family. I mean, the narrator of the film, the filmmaker, was a little tiny girl, like a toddler, when her three older brothers were sent away. So she was raised as an only child, missing these brothers who'd gone to Korea. But as you say, the pace of it, I was watching it on my computer. Mm-hmm. And it's the kind of film that you really want to see on a big screen and give yourself over to it.
It's all-encompassing for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Not that it's so full of sweeping cinematography or anything like that. It's much more of an intimate film.
Right.
The film is called Dear Pyongyang, and it's part of the Asia Now film series, which happens the second Sunday of each month at the Screen. And stay tuned, because during Speaking of the Arts, we're going to do a ticket giveaway, but not yet. So don't call yet, because you're going to have to give them. And it's at 8 o'clock on Sunday, this coming Sunday, the 11th of July. Red, you are with The Process, whom we've also talked about, and you are going strong, doing all sorts of music and performance events.
Yes. In fact, on the 10th, the day before the movie, we have A Hawk and a Hacksaw, local favorites who do Balkan gypsy music, and they seldom play in Santa Fe. It's a rare opportunity to see them. They'll be playing with us. Can I give the address?
Yeah.
At 367 Hillside Avenue in Santa Fe, 8 o'clock on Saturday night, with the Seesaw Sailors, who do Tin Pan Alley jazz stuff from the 30s and 40s, and Lady Lazarus, who does very minimalist piano and vocals. So it's going to be a huge show. Space is limited, so get there early.
Excellent. And what else do we have coming up in the Asia Now film series?
After the Dear Pyongyang, we have a feature film. Actually, I would say this is an erotic comedy from Japan. It's called Electric Button.
Electric Button, an erotic comedy from Japan.
Yeah.
And I must see. I haven't even seen it yet.
Oh, it's really, really funny. I love it. It's another female director.
Yes.
And it definitely has a different take on sexuality than what we're used to seeing.
It's funny. I was just thinking the other day and having a conversation with a friend that there is no such genre as erotic comedy.
Americans have, you know, the National Lampoon thing and the, you know, American Pie thing and all of that. But there's no, like, serious sex comedy.
Right, exactly.
And that we, as
serious
a genre.
Serious and funny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, okay. So all of that is coming up with the Asia film series. Tetsuki Ijichi from Tide Point Pictures and Red Cell from The Process, thank you so much for being with us
on
the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break right now. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned. I'm very happy now to welcome, joining us by phone, Irene Rawlings. Her book is Sisters on the Fly, Caravans, Campfires, and Tales from the Road. And she will be at Garcia Street Books this coming Tuesday, the 13th of July at 5 in the afternoon. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
I am thrilled, absolutely thrilled to be with you and looking forward to Santa Fe.
Now, this is a kind of fun, odd, unusual thing. Sisters on the Fly, what's it all about?
Well, it's about a group of women that was started by two real sisters back in 1999. And the two real sisters will actually be there at Garcia Street Books next Tuesday. And it's a group of women who enjoy hanging out with each other, fixing up old trailers, beautiful vintage trailers, and going fly fishing, or if they don't fish, they can ride horses, and if they don't ride horses, they can go to the Santa Fe Opera or do antiquing or whatever. They just enjoy hanging out with each other. It's like Girl Scouts. I should probably say this. It's like Girl Scouts except with martinis.
but it's grown-up ladies.
It is, and it is... you know, they inspire each other to go step outside their busy roles, their mothers, their daughters, their grandmothers, their businesswomen, teachers, nurses, civil engineers, federal judges. And this is the time when they can get together and sort of be girls together like they were when they were girls. And then they go back and they become who they were, which is, you know, people in real life. But their trailers define them. They find these old trailers either on eBay or Craigslist or out in a farmer's field and they buy them, they restore them. There'll be four, I think, trailers, if we can fit four, in front of Garcia Street Books. They've asked us to bring some vintage trailers so people can see them and have a trailer tour after the book signing. And the four trailers I'm thinking of are so fabulous. They're beautiful old trailers that have been restored and given names like Mustang Sally and Rhinestone Cowgirl, that kind of thing. And they are just... They're as gorgeous on the outside with murals and paintings as they are on the inside with their wonderful decor.
So there's a bit of a cowgirl feel to it, though I don't think you're out roping cattle or anything.
No. There is Cowgirl College. There is. Some of the girls really enjoy that. The women are so diverse, and there are There are sisters in New Mexico, Arizona, Wyoming, Montana, Arkansas, Vermont, you know, so the interests are as diverse as the sisters. There are just about 1,500 sisters and 1,500 trailers all across the country. So roping cattle is only part of it. There is something, as I said, called Cowgirl College, followed by Cowgirl Prom, where women go to thrift stores and buy wonderful vintage prom dresses and wear them with their cowboy boots. And they dance with each other, or if they're on a ranch, they dance with those wonderful lean-hipped cowboys.
Now, you mentioned it was like the Girl Scouts in some ways. Do you tie knots and go backpacking and things like that?
No knots, no backpacking. But there are patches, and most of the girls have jean jackets, and they earn the patches, and they range from Purple Heart, you know, in case you are using baling wire and duct tape to put your trailer back together again and suffer an injury of some kind. No, nothing serious, but it has to be bigger than a broken nail. And then they're going potty outdoors. There are patches with cigars on them. There is actually one called Naked Nymphs because the patch came about when they were taking showers outside on Navajo lands because it was the only way that they could take the showers was by putting buckets above their heads. So anytime anyone suggests does something unusual, as I say, like going potty outdoors, they suggest a patch, and one of the sisters, who's very creative, designs a gorgeous little Girl Scout-type patch, and then we sew it on our jean jackets. And I say we. Let me tell you, I'm a journalist. I write books, and I write articles, and I thought I was looking at a story, and I thought it was just a wonderful book about sassy women who decorate vintage trailers and go on cross-country road trips. But by the time I turned in my manuscript, I was hooked, and now I'm sister number 1322. So I have a jean jacket with patches on it, too, just like everybody else.
Well, it sounds like great fun, Sisters on the Fly. So you've published a book about yourselves.
Yes. Well, not about myself, Mamie. I'm not in the book
y'all.
At all. Just about us all. And we are lots of trailers. There are recipes inside where the sisters are into Dutch oven cooking. And so there is a group of sisters, actually, that does Dutch oven cooking expertly, and they call themselves the Dutch Oven Divas of the Desert. And they meet every January near Quartzsite, Arizona, and they have show off their Dutch oven. Yeah, those things are heavy. Cooking in cast iron is a heavy thing. One sister sent me over to a campfire and said, you know, bring that Dutch oven over here, and we'll put it on the table. And so I went over and picked it up. I almost fell over on my face. And I said, this must weigh 50 pounds. And she looked at me and she said, well, honey, you don't have to go to the gym quite so often. So I thought this was a good thing, too. They're just a wonderful group of women who restore trailers and are there for each other. I mean, it's not just always fun. You know, sometimes you get the call and you've got to go to whoever, you know, where there's life and love and everything else, there is also bad things that happen. And the sisters have traveling love quilts. They travel great distances when they get the call, and they bring a handmade quilt, a casserole, hugging. They listen, they understand. And if they can't make it, they do handmade quilts, and they send them off to whoever's having a challenge in life. It's just so the quilt can give them a lot of warmth until the sisters can get back together and put their arms around the person who's having the challenge.
The book is called Sisters on the Fly, and Sisters on the Fly, Caravans, Campfires, and Tales from the Road by Irene Rawlings. And once again, Irene and the Sisters and the Trailers will be at Garcia Street Books on Tuesday the 13th of July at 5 in the afternoon. And you can also check them out on the web at sistersonthefly.com. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Mary Charlotte. It's been a thrill.
We're going to take a break right now, and Robert Knott will be there in just a moment. Please stay tuned. I'm very happy now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the education reporter for the Santa Fe New Mexican, and he's with us here just about every Friday speaking of the arts. Welcome, Robert.
Good morning.
And artist Beth Serdot is with us once again, and she's got an exhibition that is opening today at the Randall Davey Audubon Center called Listening to Raven. Welcome.
Good morning.
So you have, we've had you on the show before talking about your artwork, and ravens in particular are the subject of a lot of your work.
Ravens are, I've been collecting people's stories about them. At the end of January, the New Mexican ran a really nice piece about my work and my request for people to contact me. For the next 2.5 weeks, the phone rang, the emails were coming. I had about 20 stories from local New Mexicans. And they're stories of spirit, they're stories of science. One woman tells me that a raven figured out when her kids went to school and came back, and he would accompany them to school, and he would show up at the school when it was time for them to walk home. And when people would come to visit, he would peck at their shoes like a dog nips, but he would never do that with the family. So people have raven stories, and some of them are very sad. They're often about people or a pet dying and ravens showing up right afterwards. I mean, 30 ravens showing up in the yard and accompany them through their grief.
It's not like they're trying to eat the dead flesh.
No, actually, they're far more interested in greasy junk food. They can recognize a McDonald's wrapper from very far away. In fact, at the opening tonight, I was thinking, well, should I put out like junk food and roadkill or the good stuff? So I'm putting out the good stuff.
Excellent. That would be good. So when you are doing this exhibit, will people have an opportunity to experience those stories in one way or another?
Yes. Well, all of my pieces come with my own stories. And on July 22nd, we're having a Bring Your Raven Story potluck starting at 5:30. Randall Davey Audubon Center. A lot of people here apparently have never made it up the hill to this absolutely gorgeous place, and I wanted to recommend to people that after the wonderful bustle of Folk Market and SOFA, that this is a great place to come for absolute peaceful beauty.
It is indeed. You're not even allowed to bring your dogs.
Pardon?
You can't even bring your dogs.
No, you can't, because they would chase the birds.
That's so true. So it's at the Randall Davey Audubon Center, which is at 1800 Upper Canyon Road. So when you go on Upper Canyon Road, it's the very last thing. Beth Surdut's exhibition is called Listening to Raven, and it opens today at what time?
5 o'clock to 7.
5 to 7. We will see you there.
Great.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Robert Knott.
Hello there.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very well.
Good.
What a beautiful morning.
And you?
Yeah, fine.
Folk Art Market.
Are we done?
No, we're just starting.
We've only just begun. Go ahead, Folk Art Market. It's this weekend?
It is indeed.
It's going to start with an opening party tonight with dancing, which is always great.
Yes.
Music by the Cuban group Tradición.
Tradición. They played the plaza last night. Did we dance? Oh, yes.
And there's going to be artist booth. It's going to be 6:30 tonight, Milner Plaza, Museum Hill. The opening party does cost a lot of money. And when I say a lot of money, I mean like, you know.
Yeah, you mean a lot of money.
We can't say prices, but,
right.
You know. But the market continues Saturday and Sunday, and you can get like daily tickets. Sunday tickets and early bird tickets are possible. Check out folkartmarket.org or, you know what, see Pasatiempo, page 28 for the piece and the schedule, and it's all weekend long. Museum Hill, buses go there. If you live downtown, you can kind of almost walk there. I live close enough where I could walk there. So that's it. That's one of the two big things this weekend, along with SOFA.
SOFA West. Tell us a little bit about that.
Who, me?
Yeah, sculpture. What is it? Sculpture and functional art.
You don't know what SOFA stands for?
You were the one who didn't know last week.
So you are right. Very good. You remember things from last week. This is the second annual international exposition of sculpture and objects and fine art and other stuff. It's at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center on Marcy Street. Check out sofaexpo.com. See today's Pasatiempo, page 46, first story.
Excellent.
And you can find out all about it. Be down there at the weekend, both days. Tonight there's like 50 visual arts openings as well, whether this is coincidence to tie in with these events, whether this is just how it goes. And the Pasatiempo calendar has a listing of them on page 72. Take a look. I'll just randomly choose a half dozen real quickly and let you plug in with a couple. Aaron Payne, 213 East Marcy, has Joyce Mellander, Dayton, New Works, Mixed Media, 5 p.m. reception. Most receptions start at 5, give or take a half hour. Blue Rain downtown at 130 Lincoln has Voices from the Temple Mound, which is art class by Preston Singletary and Marcus Hammerman. Reception 5 to 8. Show runs through mid-July. Gerald Peters has Max Weber, Music, Art, and Dance. Weber was around back like 50 years ago. Reception 5 to 7. Heidi Lowen has Golden Glow. What a nice title. Porcelain by Heidi and Sarah Buxton. Reception 5 to 10. Heidi's on 315 Johnson Street, not far from the Georgia O'Keeffe. Meow Wolf has Habitats. Group
and it's called Post Sofa Soiree.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, I was just good. Looking at the Heidi thing.
That's nice. Meow Wolf, 1800 Second Street, has Habitats Group Multimedia Installation, reception 5 to 8. Photo Eye has a photo show called Elemental. They're at 376A Garcia Street near a downtown subscription. Photographs by Chris McCall, Edward Ranney, R-A-N-N-E-Y, and Mitch Dobrowner, reception 5 to 7. And you were mentioning Listening to Ravens up at Randall David Audubon Center. Drawings and prints by Beth Surdut, reception 5 to 7 through August 9th. A couple more. I'll mention that Santa Fe Clay is having a show. Hicks and Sanit. That's interesting. Oh, Ceramics by David Hicks and Patricia Sanit. I wonder what's called that. Reception 5 to 7. They're at Camino de la Familia, 984-1122. Show runs through late August. Verve on Marcy Street. Story in today's Pasatiempo. Saturated with Color. Work by Jeffrey Bickham and Maggie Taylor and Nevada Weir. Nevada's a great name.
Yeah.
That's reception 5 to 7. And finally, Zane Bennett. Again, this is just random alphabetical from the Pasatiempo listings. 435 South Guadalupe Street has Schaefer Precise, glass sculpture by Mary Schaefer, reception 5 to 7 through August 7th. Check out the PASA calendar for all the listings. There's also like a dozen listings on Saturday. It's great when people have like the first name, it's the name is a state. Like, what states would you like to be named? If you had a state, would you like to be called like Arizona, or would you like to be called Nevada, or?
How about South Dakota? South Dakota Domandi. Does that work for me?
As a matter of fact, that does work very well for you. There is Dakota Fanning, so why can't Dakota's a good name?
Yeah.
Montana's not a bad name. Hey, Montana. Hey, Robert. How are you? I'm good, thanks. In those cowboy movies, they always had these guys like, hey, Colorado. Well, look, here comes Nevada. Why, if it isn't Mississippi? And you always figured out where these guys get these names from. Particularly, were those states even named in those days? We don't know for sure.
What days?
Never mind that. I'm talking cowboy movies. All right, so South Dakota, tell me more about your life. What's going on?
Well.
Wait a minute. You're taking part in something on Tuesday night.
Yes, I am.
And that something is that seriously funny live taping of Ron Bloomberg's radio show, plus a variety show.
A variety show.
With variety.
I'm going to be in the variety show.
7:30
Are you going
Tuesday?
To be in the variety show?
I'm not
show? Going to
be in it, but I promised I'd show up at 7:30. You got to pay to get in, and it benefits KSFR, right?
It does indeed, and they've lowered the ticket price.
Oh, boy.
And ladies and gentlemen, you should definitely show up. It's at the Playhouse.
Well, do you know the phone number? Is it the Playhouse phone number, or is it the KSFR phone number?
It's a KSFR phone number. You can call for tickets, 428-1379.
Do you remember the Marquise Chimps when they used to be in the variety shows in the 60s?
The what?
The Marquise Chimps. They were these cute little chimps, and they put dresses on them, and they rode bicycles and stuff.
Why, no.
What about, like, the Singer Midgets? They would show up, too.
That was The Wizard of Oz.
No, but they later did the variety show.
And then they published a book about that called Under the Rainbow.
And then remember Senior Wences?
No.
Where were you?
I think I was in school studying hard, or maybe I was glint in my parents' eye, depending on when you're talking about.
That's the problem. You were in school. I was home watching TV. This is why we have all this culture class on the show.
We didn't get a television until I was 6 years old. So the first 6 years of my life, I was blissfully free of television and read books and things like that.
Oh, reading. Hey, your buddy Desiree Mays. I love that song, Desiree Mays, who you often have on to talk about the opera every year. In fact, you usually
yes.
do your opera series, right, around the end of July?
No. I'm going to rerun the entire opera series for 1 week in August when they're playing all the operas. They've got two or three weeks where they play all the operas
right.
back-to-back Monday through Friday.
Oh, boy.
And then I play the operas in concert with them.
So there's a profile on her today by James Keller in the Pasatiempo. It's kind of a fun little profile. It's not as if she's doing anything specific, but as you know, she does give the music lectures before the operas, and this is her 15th season. And it's not every performance, but it's most every performance she's there. Is that correct to say?
Yeah.
Good. So and
it might be every performance.
She's a Dublin lady, right, from Ireland?
She's very Irish in the most wonderful way.
Well, there you go. So she's going to be talking about the operas all year long. If you haven't got a clue what's going on up there, go see her. And then there's a nice profile by her in today's Passo Tiempo.
Most excellent.
Meanwhile, tap dancers are going to love Tap On, part of the Santa Fe Jazz Fest. 7:30 Thursday at the Lenzic, 988-1234. Take a look at today's story by Michael Wade Simpson on John Kloss, who's the founder of Stepology and who supposedly likes to tap dance blindfolded.
Stepology. Hey, I've got a couple of ticket giveaways.
Okay, I'll take them.
The first ticket giveaway is for the Asia Film Festival. So
you just had a story on that. I mean, you
we
just did
yeah, that interview. Was the, that was what the first segment was. So if you want to go to that movie, Dear Pyongyang, then you can go at 8 o'clock on Sunday. The third caller to 428-1382, 428-1382, will get a pair of tickets for the Asia Film Festival. And once that's done, Mary Lynn is going to give me the secret signal, and we will do the second ticket giveaway. Now, only do ticket giveaways, only call if you can definitely, really, absolutely go and want to go, because otherwise you should let somebody else do it.
Okay. There's a lot of movies playing at both CCA and the screen.
Yes.
I'm not sure how to pronounce this, and I never try to mispronounce things purposely when it has to do with a proper name. Dear Pyongyang?
Yeah, I just said that.
All right, that's the one at Japanese and Korean with subtitles at the screen. The Good, the Bad, and the Weird is a crazy, wild Korean Western. I reviewed it in today's Passo Tiempo at the screen. I'll risk being sexist and say it's totally a guy movie. The Native Cinema Showcase over at the Cinematheque continues with Pierre Nop. Micmacs is a strange French picture opening at Regal de Vargas. I don't know anything about it. And Despicable Me is the new animated picture with Steve Carell opening at Regal 14. And for those of you that like those kind of horror pictures, Predators, plural. With Adrian Brody. I don't know why he's doing all these horror pictures, but there you have it. Regal Stadium 14. Lots of movies to check out. Take a look at Passo Tiempo's coverage. And the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is playing its final week at the screen if you're interested.
Okay.
Head over there.
That's been there for a while.
I know. And the new one, the sequel, will be coming out soon. Teatro Paraguas teams up with Warehouse 21 and the Southwest Repertory Theater to present La Vida es Sueño.
La Vida es Sueño. Life is a Dream.
Love is a Dream, which is the story by Pedro Calderon de la Barca, which is what the opera, which is going to premiere here this summer,
Life is a Dream,
is based on.
Correct.
It's running at 7:30 p.m. tonight and tomorrow and 2 p.m. on Sunday. Admission is free. I do believe they will take donations. And
they will take donations, and they're also having a kind of a nice little fundraiser at Bert's Taqueria, isn't that correct? Is that in, do you have that in there?
I'm not sure about that, but you're probably right. The show is at Warehouse 21. I think it's a staged reading, not a full production.
Oh, it's at Warehouse 21?
Yeah, I think
it's not
so.
At Teatro Paraguas?
They're teaming up with... this is great. Between the two of us, we're doing great.
Yeah, we're doing great.
They're teaming
great
up with those guys, but... it's at Warehouse 21. Admission is free. Donations welcome. 424-1601. It is a staged reading. So
it is a staged reading,
right.
And I actually went to the rehearsal, and it was fun. It was interesting because it is so almost Shakespearean in the way that play feels. Life, La Vida es Sueño.
Well, usually plays written in the 1600s seem Shakespearean to me. Those guys wear collars that, like, puffy and everything, like Elizabeth Warren, and they walk around declaiming stuff with, like, 12 words when 2 words would do the job. Instead of saying get out, they say get thee to a nunnery and depart thee, fie, and all that. Or instead of saying let's get him, they say we must plan ye modest assault on the old castle and stuff like that.
Hey, at 5 o'clock tomorrow, that's July 10th.
You're going to buy me a beer.
Is the Bert's Taqueria, which is on the corner of Agua Fria and Guadalupe. It's a pre-show evening of appetizers and made by the world-renowned French Fernando Olea.
Ooh.
Recently named one of the top 3 chefs in America by Michelle Obama. There you have it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
The Santa Fe Desert Chorale is kicking off its summer season on Tuesday, July 13th. It runs for roughly a month. You can always get tickets, as you know, at the Lenzig.
At the Lenzig. So we're going to do our second ticket. Sorry, that sounded like you. We're going to do our second ticket giveaway right now.
I was delighted.
Which is the International Folk Art Market is making available a promotion package. It's a package of goodies, basically, for Folk Art Market. So if you call and you're the fourth caller, you get two admission tickets for Sunday. You get a beautiful book called The Extraordinary in the Ordinary. You get an eco-friendly water bottle and all sorts of things. But the main thing is admission to Folk Art Market on Sunday. So the fourth caller to 428-1382 gets that, and you get to pick it up at Folk Art Market. You don't have to come to the baking company or anything.
Now, everybody's sort of still paying somewhat attention, I imagine, to the unfortunate oil spill in the Gulf of Coast. Casey Sanchez did a really nice interview with John Hoffmeister, author of Why We Hate the Oil Companies.
Yes, who I'm going to be talking to on Wednesday morning of next week, if all goes well. My interview time has been, we've been trying to find a time to do it live or pre-record it, and it's been very challenging. But it looks like we're going to air on Wednesday morning, the 14th of July, an interview with John Hoffmeister.
Because he'll be speaking at 5 p.m. on Wednesday at the Inn in Spa Loretto. It is free. Garcia Street Books is hosting it, 986-0151. I want to cut in with 30 seconds of just you and me talking about our business. Sometimes we can't
our
land.
Business?
Yeah, we can't land interviews. People sometimes say,
do
"Why didn't you?"
Oh yeah, that business.
You know, why can't you? Why didn't you interview this fund? Sometimes it's not possible by deadline. Sometimes they change things. Sometimes they cancel. I was about to do an interview with a guy that wrote a book on Buffalo Bill. He was supposed to come to Garcia Street Books. He canceled the New Mexico part of his tour.
Yeah.
After I already read the book, this stuff does happen. And sometimes we just can't get to people before our deadlines. Probably that's more so for me, but being our deadlines for PASA are like a week in advance, which you could conceivably pull it off. But even you probably have to change things around quickly.
Well, luckily I can pre-record at different times of day, and so usually I can fit it in, and it's a last minute thing. If I do a program on the day of the event, it still works out.
Oh, I just noticed these crazy, surrealistic, colorful.
Are they paintings or are they prints?
I don't know. Is there a notepad? We're talking about the art on the Santa Fe Baking Company wall.
Yeah. It's totally Dolly-like surrealism.
Yeah.
Or kind of Dolly-like surrealism.
Photographer David Taylor's got an image on the cover of the Pasta Tempo. He's going to be talking about working the line, photographing the border and the people he ran across, be they immigrants, border patrol, drug traffickers. 5:30 p.m. Thursday, New Mexico History Museum Auditorium.
I'm glad you're announcing that.
No charge, 476-5200. I'm going to try to make it to that. I think this is going to be pretty interesting.
Another person who I'm definitely going to have on the air on this coming Monday morning is Mitch Tobin, he's a journalist. He's written an amazing, very readable, although rather long book called Endangered, Biodiversity on the Brink. And it's a must read if you're even remotely interested in biodiversity and the destruction of habitat and what that's doing not only to the natural world but to us.
Great.
And he's going to be at Garcia Street Books next week.
Jackalope Summer Music continues with Willie Jim doing Swingabilly today at 12:30 out on Cerrillos Road. They often have music in the summer. As you know, you mentioned it earlier, the Santa Fe Bandstand kicked off this past week on Monday night, which was technically a holiday, but they were out there playing, and they're going to be playing this week, and I'll list a few for you. This is brought to you by the City of Santa Fe and Outside In Productions, of course. Don Lovato and Chris Abeda are going to be playing at noon Monday, and I believe Papa Grows Funk will be playing at 6 p.m. On Tuesday. You've got... I don't know what you have Tuesday. Say the joke's on me. Wednesday, I know you have Nacha Mendez there playing with Agua Bendita at 6 p.m. Wednesday night. So we're always interested in what's playing on the plaza. Go on down there. 6 o'clock at night. It's noon during the day. You can dance. You can have fun.
It was fun last night. It was so crowded. You could barely dance.
I was at work a little late. School board meetings and stuff. Then I went by the paper. And the parking lot across from the newspaper was packed with cars. The streets were packed with cars. I drove by the post office. It was packed with cars. I was trying to figure out. They were all there, I'm sure, for the bandstand. I think. I could be wrong. Unless Cypher West had a reception last night.
Okay. Family Ukulele Play Shop, sponsored by Fam Jam, this Sunday from 3 to 4:30 at the Pink Church in the corner of Pacheco. The Pink Church Art Center on Pacheco Street. You can actually learn to play the ukulele in under 2 hours. And there is a cost for individuals or for family. All ages welcome. Under 7 years old must have an adult. Call 466-6999 for more information. FamJam.net.
I can learn in less than 2 hours.
Well, I don't know about you, but, you know, children under 7 can, definitely.
I'd love to learn. I want to play that song, Ukulele Lady. I always get a lady, but I never get the ukulele. That's a great tune. Remember that tune that Bette Midler sang? When you see the ukulele lady likes you. Okay.
Okay.
Would you like a summer afternoon of art songs and more with tenor Timothy Oliver, pianist Glenn Lewis, harpist Giuseppina Sierla, featuring the music of Bach, Wagner, Copland, and your buddy Beethoven? 3 p.m. Sunday, First Presbyterian Church on Grand Avenue. Gotta pay to get in, but you can get a student discount. Call 983-2647 for a summer afternoon of art songs and more.
And once again, Earthworks Institute is having an event. It's called Stories of the Land, guided hike at Galisteo Basin Preserve on the theme Paths of Wildlife. And they're going to be trackers, Peter Callen and Mitch Johnson, and host Jan Willem Janssens. It's Saturday, tomorrow, from 10 to noon. Bring hiking boots, comfortable clothes, binoculars, water, and you meet at the Cowboy Shack at the Galisteo Basin Preserve, which is west of Lamy. For more information, 982-9806, or you can go to earthworksinstitute.org.
Every April, those Francophiles, Charles Tishner and Ron Dadu Romanofsky, get together, and they do April in Paris.
Dadu.
I know. And now it's July, and they're trying to trick us, because they're doing a special show called Vive la France in accordance with Bastille Day.
Yeah,
do you know anything about Bastille Day, by the way?
It's the 14th of July.
And what does that refer to?
Look it up.
Oh, for once I got to be the encyclopedia. Huh?
You got to be the encyclopedia.
Okay, well, since you're not going to show off your knowledge, all I know is it's 6 p.m.
No, it's the French national holiday. It's like their Independence Day.
Oh, that's when they stormed the Bastille?
Yeah.
I wonder what they were doing up there. Anyway, they're going to be playing at 6 o'clock. There's going to be French songs, door prizes, costumes. I wonder who's going to be wearing them. And a game of French Trivial Pursuit, which would be fun. It is at 6 o'clock at Vanessi on Tuesday night. Vanessi's at San Francisco Street. You got to pay to get in at the door, 982-9966. I always think paying at the door means cash. I wonder if that means credit cards and stuff.
Oh, that I don't know.
Yeah, or if they have a little booth set up with a really lovely French lady singing.
So, Flamenco and Photography Friday is today at the Teresa Neptune Gallery from 6 to 7:30. Did you mention that one already? 728 Canyon Road?
No, I'm delighted you're bringing it up.
And Julia Chacon is an artist with many capacities in Spanish dance styles. She's a flamenco dancer and does other styles as well. And so you can check that out tonight. And Teresa Neptune's gallery, she's a wonderful photographer. She's very, very, very good. For more information, 690-5151.
Santa Fe Children's Museum is always the place to go if you have kids, 1050 Old Pecos Trail. It's open from 10 to 5 Wednesday and Saturday, noon to 8 on Thursday, 9 to 5 on Friday, noon to 5 on Sunday. How the hell can you keep track of these times? Closed Mondays, New Mexico residents get in for cheaper than the usual people. On Sunday, everybody gets in really cheap. They're going to have a whole bunch of things happening, so head on over there and see, including the aforementioned ukulele play shop you talked about.
You mentioned Borderlines drawing border lives at the Pachamama Gallery, right?
No, I didn't mention that one.
Oh, okay. There's a new book called Borderlines, Drawing Border Lives. And on Tuesday of next week at 3 in the afternoon, the authors will be at the Pachamama Gallery. They'll also be at Bookworks tomorrow. But it's a collection of 25 bilingual poems, English and Spanish, about the U.S.-Mexico border and 25 portraits of people who live and work there.
Nice. Let's say you want to get out of town this weekend because there's too much going on. Abiquiu has its chamber music festival with classical guitarist David Leisner playing at 2 p.m. Saturday and Sunday.
Why would you want to get out if there's too much going on? You have to do all the too much.
Maybe, but you head up to U.S. 84 and Private Road 1622. Number 12. Well, just check out abiquiumusic.com.
I'm sorry. Yes, it's actually wonderful. Wonderful place to go and thing to do.
It is?
Abiquiu.
There's no need to apologize. I do that stuff all the time on TV.
What?
I mean on radio.
Who?
Yes. There's also a lecture up in Abiquiu, Black and White Photography Over 30 Years by Walter Nelson on July 15th at 7 o'clock. No charge for that. Up off New Mexico 84. So there's stuff happening in Abiquiu.
And on Saturday, tomorrow, Who Let the Dogs Out? Walkathon and Fitness Fundraiser benefit the Española Valley Humane Shelter, the animal shelter in Española. And the registration is at 8:30, and there's food, music, games, and all kinds of things. And where is this? The gym at El Dorado? Could that be right?
Why not? Go to the gym.
For more information, okay, yeah, the gym at El Dorado, 466-6496.
Head out to Lamy for the Lamy Arts and Music Festival. It's 1 o'clock Saturday at the Legal Tender Saloon, which I guess is reopened for this year event, 151 Old Lamy Trail. You can hear the Country Blues Review, the Montiel Trio, White Buffalo, The Strange, and Goshen. All just for a really small fee. Call 466-1650, 1 o'clock Saturday, down at the Lamy Legal Tender Saloon. I used to go out there and eat steak when I moved here in the early 90s. Terry Carthy used to play out there.
And don't forget Vibes. Vibes is at the Lodge. Sets of reggae, reggaeton, Latin music, salsaton jams, which are some kind of fusion of reggaeton and salsa. And that's from 9 in the evening till 2 in the morning. Ladies free before 10 at the Lodge in Santa Fe.
That's nice that they let women in free.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
What's that about?
I think maybe there is a shortage of women, and so they want to make sure they show up. I don't know. But there's the music. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio
shortage.
Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at KSFR.org, and look at the little shortage face.
You are numbers like 8 to 1.
What are you talking about?
You could take over the world if you would just, like, put down your ukuleles.
You're the one who wants to play the ukulele.
Well, how can I learn? Only a 7-year-old can learn if they're under 2 hours.
That's a good point. My father played the ukulele.
Did you do Ukulele Lady? You don't remember the song?
Oh, I don't know. He played all sort of little cowboy songs and stuff.
Hey, aren't you supposed to be saying goodbye?
Goodbye. Streaming live at KSFR.org, podcasting at SantaFeRadioCafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at Facebook.com/RadioCafe. And my email address is RadioCafe@KSFR.org. Marilyn LeBlanc, thank you so much. Thank you to all our listeners who participated in the ticket giveaway. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's amazing, wonderful, award-winning news team with Bill Dupuy and Dan Garrity and many more.
And remember Tuesday night if you want to see KSFR people doing antics.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm so glad you keep bringing it up. Yes, 7:30, call 428. Well, yeah, I'm going to be on stage, ladies and gentlemen. 428-1379 for tickets to Seriously Funny next week.
What happens if I show up in the audience and people say, Robert, get up and take a bow with her, even though I didn't do anything?
Then you should.
Okay, I'll do it.
You should do my comedy routine with me. I'm doing a 3-minute comedy routine.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Is it all going to be funny or just like a minute and a half of it?
Maybe the whole thing will be a minute and a half.
Oh, I see. Downsizing.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Adios.
Ciao.